Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, reading verse 17 through 20. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Heavenly Father, once more we come into your presence, and I'm asking for a touch from heaven, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, to rest upon me. Lord, help me to preach what I believe that you've given me. Please speak to the people. Enlighten the eyes of their understanding as Paul prayed. Help them to understand the Word of God, and give them a fresh revelation of who Jesus Christ is according to the Word of God. And Lord, please help the people listening. If there's any trouble in their life, I know that you're the God that is able. Please help them. Whatever struggles they have, please minister to them. And Lord, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in that marvelous and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're continuing our study on sanctification, and we had started to take a look at the life of Peter. If you read through the Gospels, as I'm trying to do in preparing for these two or three messages on his life, you find again and again and again that he, Peter, comes to the end of himself. He's shown the glory of God. He sees the magnificence of Christ, and he realizes his own shortcomings. In this message today, these two or three passages I'm going to read, you see that. But again, sanctification. We see that Jesus calls Peter and his brother, and they heed the call of God. And you can say at that point that they were saved. Now, the born-again experience where the Spirit of God comes to dwell in a person, a believer, that was not possible then, and that's maybe theology we shouldn't get into just yet. But they were saved. If Peter had died at that point, he would have gone to heaven. There's no question about it. He was positionally in Christ. And today we're studying his call, what have you. But as you continue to read, you see that God continually works upon his life. As he interacts with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's astonished again and again and again. I've said many times that in our churches today, we never quite see the forest for the trees. We see the things that we're used to. We see the way that our church does things. We know that if you're a Baptist, well, if you go to one Baptist church or another, they're pretty much going to be about the same. If you go to an Assembly of God church or a charismatic church or a Methodist church, doesn't matter, pick which one, you know that they're going to act and do things essentially the same. There's some variation, but you pretty much know what to expect. Many times Christians, that's all they see, is their church, their denomination, what have you. But as we study these passages, and we continue to look at the life of Peter, we understand that God is bigger than any box that we could possibly create to put him in. So let's take a look. It says that they were called. Peter and Andrew, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Not just, hey, follow me, but I'll make you fishers of men. And it says they straightway left their nets and followed him. We said that sanctification means, again from the Greek and what have you, to be separated unto God and for his use. Okay, fine, they were separated unto God. They gave their lives to the Lord. They said, we will follow. But he immediately said, look, let's get to work. I'll make you fishers of men. Okay, great, God calls, but look what they did. They straightway left the nets. He said, follow me, let's get to work. And they said, okay, they put the nets down, walk off the boat, kind of waved to mama, daddy, hey, I'm going to be with Jesus. And that was that. They separated themselves unto God and for his use, for his work. But we're given more information about their call in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. It says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, upon Christ, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. We could stop right there, preach the rest of the broadcast, have a little camp meeting, have a revival, what have you, on this one verse right here. They pressed upon Christ to hear the word of God. The preaching of the word of God in many quarters is downplayed today. And those preachers that do try to continue their work, to preach, to teach, to study, to make sure that they understand sound doctrine, to get on their faces before God and say, Lord, I've got to have a message. It's Thursday. I've got to be able to preach on Sunday morning. Lord, you've got to be able to give me something. And they'll get a message and they'll make sure that they've studied up. Then they'll get back on their faces before God and says, Lord, you've got to help me to preach it. Because I want there to be some effect. I want somebody to give their heart to the Lord. Please, Lord, help me to preach so that there's some result. That's fine. That's great. Fantastic. But that isn't seen very much anymore. We've got programs. We've got this and that. We've got entertainment. We've got all kind of things. But the days of Jonathan Edwards, clutching onto that pulpit because he hadn't eaten in days fasting, hardly able to stand up in 17, whatever the year was, I don't remember, preached that great sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And he described hell. He described people almost falling into hell. And the response, men were gripping the backs of the pews, afraid to fall into hell, afraid that judgment might fall upon them. In those days, architecture wasn't as good as it was now. There were every 10, 15, 20 feet, there was a post. Otherwise, the roof would collapse. They'd get in the aisles and grab onto these posts and hang on for dear life, afraid that they'd fall into hell. That kind of preaching we don't hear much anymore. But preaching should be probably the most important thing in church. But sadly, that's not what we want anymore. But, getting back to the text, it says that he saw two ships standing by the lake, or pulled up to the dock, or whatever the case. But the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. We find out later they'd been fishing all night and took nothing, caught no fish. But it says Jesus came up and says, "Hey, Simon, want to borrow your boat a little while? Let's kind of push off 10, 20 feet, what have you. Let me sit down, get set, and let me teach the people." And for half an hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours, however long it took, I don't know, but Jesus taught the people who were pressed in, it says in verse 1, to hear the word of God. They were crowding him so close that he couldn't even move. And then he said, "Well, let me get on that boat out the ways, you know, make sure that nobody can push me down or what have you. Give me a chance to breathe, and I'll teach the people." So he did that. He went in the ship, 10, 20 feet out, what have you. People kind of sat down and kind of calmed down, and he taught them for however long it was. Then afterwards, in verse 4, when he was done, he said to Simon, "Hey, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or for a great catch." And Simon, and he was a little sarcastic, he said, "Master, we've toiled all night. Man, we've been fishing all night, and we ain't caught nothing." Remember, these guys were professional fishermen. They fished all night, didn't get nothing. But he said, and again, he was sarcastic, he had no understanding of what Jesus was going to do. He just simply had no idea that Jesus was going to perform a miracle. So he said, "Well, you know, you're not going to catch nothing, but okay, we'll do it." They threw the net over the side, and it says a great multitude of fish came into the net, so much that the net broke. And then Peter, or Simon, he waved to James and John. They came out in their little boat, and they grabbed a hold and tried to pull the net up. Again, too many fish. So many fish almost sunk both of those boats. You have to understand the symbolism. They were professional fishermen. They had worked and worked and worked, toiled all night, it says, and they had no results. But Jesus comes up and he begins to preach the word of God to hungry people. And then they, at his word, make one more cast, a fruitless cast. They know nothing would be in the net. There ain't no fish. But so many fish that almost sank two boats trying to pull the net up to shore. "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men," he said. And he demonstrated by a physical miracle of so many fish, two boats almost sank. But he said, "I'll make you fishers of men. We'll preach the gospel. We'll see people saved. We'll see drug addicts delivered. We'll see people's minds get right. We'll see people begin to live right as we preach the gospel." As we preach the gospel, God will give us a great harvest if we but trust in Him, believe in Him, trust in Him, depend upon Him. He will give us results. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says that we'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon us. And we'll be witnesses of Jesus Christ to preach this wonderful gospel that Jesus saves. In Jerusalem, then in all Judea. It's kind of like Metairie, but then I can go throughout all Jefferson Parish. It's a lot of Jefferson Parish, all the way down to, it encompasses Kenner, it encompasses Harahan, what have you. Not just the city of Metairie, what have you, but the whole parish. Jerusalem and Judea. And then Samaria, the Gentiles. And not only Samaria, but to the uttermost part of the earth. And they, in the first century, evangelized the whole known world. And today we're trying to do everything we can. You know that I do work down in Haiti. trying to win souls to the Lord. You can name a country. You can spin the globe if you got one and point your finger, and anywhere your finger stops, there are people trying to preach the gospel and perhaps risking their lives in some jungle or what have you, some country that maybe ISIS is threatening or what have you. People are trying to win souls to the uttermost part of the earth. But it says after the two ships began to sink because of so many fish, in verse 8 and 9, "And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and not only him, but all that were with him, at the draught of the great catch of the fish that they had taken. They saw this great miracle, and they were astonished." Again, this is all symbolism. It has to do with preaching the word of God and winning lost souls. God will give us a great ingathering of souls if we trust him so much that it will astonish us if we trust him. After they were filled with the Holy Ghost, as promised in Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 41, after Peter stood up and preached that sermon with the 11, that 3,000 people got saved. "Hey, Peter, jump off that boat. I'll make you a fisher of men." He preached, and his net was full. 3,000 people in one sermon. You flip over two chapters, Acts chapter 4, verse 4. It says 5,000 people got saved. Again, that's astonishing. That's astonishing. Their nets were full, and our nets can be full as well, as we lift up the wonderful and powerful and precious and matchless name of Jesus Christ. If we'll preach this gospel straight and hard and true, and not mince words, and not be afraid to say, "Hey, homosexuality is a sin, stop doing that," and what have you. We need to stand up and preach, and it will have an effect. It's promised it'll have an effect. But we need to trust God for the harvest. John chapter 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit," or many fish, much fruit, what have you. "For without me, you can do nothing." Church programs, new methods, cell groups, life groups, what have you. Emergent church, centering prayer, all of these different fads, all the stuff on TV, I'm sorry, very little of that has any effect. But the old-fashioned gospel, preached in faith, that has an effect. It's God's way. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Peter and the other apostle says, "We'll give ourselves to the word of God and prayer." We're going to preach it. We're going to study it ourselves, make sure we know what we're talking about. We're going to believe God in prayer. And we're going to see these great harvests of men as they preach. And again, we can have results today if we'll trust him and believe. Okay, fine. That's when Peter, James, John, Andrew, what have you, they were all called when they first encountered Christ. That's what we studied. But let's go ahead and take a look after the resurrection. The post-resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ. Now, to set the stage, the disciples, they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. But they really didn't understand what was going on. They didn't quite know their place. They certainly had no idea that in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 would get saved in one sermon. They hadn't received the promise of the Father yet, the mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost, the power of God. They had not received it yet. They didn't know what to do, really. But Jesus gives the same lesson he did when they were first saved, first called into the ministry, about the harvest and total dependence upon God. John chapter 21, you can start at verse 1, I suppose. After these things, Jesus showed himself alive again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Different sea, but the same idea. Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise he showed himself, it says. In verse 2, they were all together, all the disciples. And in verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to go back and see if I can get that boat working. We're going to see if we can put it back out in the water and see if we can make some money. Again, he was called to be a fisher of men. He walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, saw all the miracles, Lazarus raised from the dead, the woman with the issue of blood, her bloody issue dried up, all of the miracles for 3.5 years. And here he's confused, he doesn't know quite what to do, and he says, I'm going to go back fishing. But it says that the other disciples, hey, we're going with you. But you know, this is just like we read when they first got saved. It says in verse 3, and they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Same scenario. You'd think they'd learn. But the morning was now come, and Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And he said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? You got any fish? What have ye? And they said, No. Same story. No fish. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat around him, for he was naked, and he was not completely naked. He had some underwear or something on. But he put his coat back around him and threw himself in the sea, it says. Same idea. Same idea. Same lesson. Same thing. You got to repeat it again. You didn't learn the first time. You got to repeat it again, I guess. But we see the care of God. Now, won't get into it this time, but Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and the cock crew and all that stuff, and he was ashamed and what have you. Later on, Jesus came and said, Hey, you know, feed my sheep. He realized that God was so much greater than him and his circumstance. And he realized himself and his ways and his abilities to make a living, fishing, what have you. He realized how small and insignificant he was compared to the glory of God. Sanctification has to do with brokenness and denial of self and taking up your cross and following the Lord. He was confused. He didn't know what to do. So he went back fishing. Only thing he knew how to do. Never mind the 3.5 years of every day, every night, he was there with the Lord. And God patiently taught him the same lesson. You know, God is patient with us. God loves us. God loves you, you hear me? He wants to reveal himself to you, to show you his magnificence, and he'll patiently take time with you. Again, God loves you. He's not mad at you. Now, if you're in sin, you're doing things you shouldn't on Friday night or Saturday night or with that other girl, or whatever the case, you need to stop. But God loves you, and God will speak to you, and God will use you, and God will reveal himself to you, and just like Peter, you can be astonished at him. and you drop everything you've got, everything you do, everything you know, you put it down and follow him, just as Peter did. And next time we'll take a look at Jesus walking on the water and take it from there. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.